Galatians 5:13 to 15. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other.
Good morning. Got a packed house. Pastor Peter is in OTR this weekend. He's speaking at their retreat, so I'm up here. Cool. All right. So today we're going to be continuing our series entitled This Is Us. All right. And this is going through the things that Kairos Church holds dear, our core values, what makes up our DNA, if you will. And last week, Pastor Peter talked about prayer and fasting to kick off our week of prayer and fasting. So congratulations for those of you who joined us. We're almost done. I hope you're all doing okay. Today, I'm going to be going through community servanthood, which is another one of Kairos' core values. We really believe in every member serving here at Kairos, and so I'm going to be talking a bit about that today. But before we get into that, I want to ask you guys, what is your favorite sport to watch, either live or on TV, and why? So take a minute, discuss that with your neighbor. What is your favorite sport to watch? How many people said soccer? Wow. All right, four. I'm not going to be talking about soccer. I just figured it would be the lowest answer in here. Are there any people who think there was something lower? Water polo? No? Did anyone say volleyball? Awesome. How many people here play volleyball? Can you raise your hand? Cool. All right. I figured we'd have a lot of liberos in here because there's a lot of Asians in here and we're all small. Sorry. But okay, so when I was in high school, I really loved watching volleyball. I wasn't good at volleyball, but I really loved watching it. I tried to learn it. I had a lot of friends that played, so I asked them to teach me, and my coordination was really bad, so I stuck with piano. But I really enjoyed watching, and I was actually an athletic trainer for our men's and women's volleyball teams. So there's something you didn't know about me. We were told to remain somewhat professional when we were standing on the sidelines because we were there as sort of staff and not spectators. So I remember standing there trying to sort of stifle my screams and my yells when someone would score, but that sort of all went out the window during playoffs. I remember losing my voice at every single game that I was covering. I was standing there with water bottles in my hands and just like, you know, yelling, stuff was squirting out. I was wearing my sports med polo. I probably looked really unprofessional, but there was a lot of excitement there because I loved watching volleyball. And my youth pastor was also a high school volleyball coach for a local Christian high school. And he told me personally the reason he loved volleyball so much, why he elevated it in his mind above other sports, was that he felt like it was never about the one or two most important players on the team. It wasn't just about one or two key positions, but really it was about everyone working together perfectly, meshing together, really in synergy, and everybody working together to execute the same thing, to execute one player, to execute one point. Everybody got to play, and everybody had to play and play hard. And at Kairos, we believe the same thing. We believe that everybody gets to play. You know, we like to say every member is a minister, not just the staff, not just our lay leaders, but every member here is a minister. Everybody gets to serve. And it's not just about opportunity. It's not just that we get to do these things, but we should do these things for the health of ourselves, for the health of the church. So if you've ever asked yourself, I said this in the first service, but they're all servants, so it was a little moot. But if you've ever asked yourself, or if it's a question in your mind right now, is God calling me to serve? I'll tell you right now, the answer is yes. Okay, the answer is yes. Why? Why do we serve? Let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Let me read that again. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We see here what Peter is saying is that God created us to serve. He created all of us to serve. He blessed us with gifts. He doesn't say if you have received a gift, but he says whatever gift you have received, whatever that may look like. Some of us may be good with cooking. We may be very hospitable. Some of us may be gifted administratively, right? Some of us are prophetically gifted. We can sort of hear from God. Some of us have the gift of healing. Whatever our gifts look like, they're from God. And the thing is, these gifts are all pretty useless if you're on your own, right? If you're blessed with the gift of hospitality, it's not so you can be hospitable to yourself. If you're blessed administratively, it's not so you can be hyper-organized in your daily life. These might be sort of effects of these gifts, but the gift of prophecy is not so I can prophesy over myself, okay? God calls us to serve others. Right after Peter mentions the gifts, he says, use these gifts to serve others. So really, these gifts that we're given from God, they're not for us. He gives us gifts, but they're not for us. They're for other people. And specifically, in Ephesians 4:12, Paul mentions that these gifts are meant for the church. He says these gifts were to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, the body of Christ being us, being the church. So that's the short version of why we serve, because we're created to, because God blesses us and equips us with gifts to serve, and he calls us to serve others. Okay, so let's look at what Paul says in Galatians about serving. In verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Right here in this verse, we see Paul making 3 points leading up to serving. Okay, and these are going to be my 3 points for today if you're taking notes. What enables us to serve? What prevents us from serving? And what drives us to serve? Again, that's what enables us to serve, what prevents us from serving, and what drives us to serve. So first, we'll look at what enables us to serve. He says at the beginning, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." This is what he leads off with, and it may seem a little bit unrelated, right, to service, but we have to look at the context. What freedom is Paul referring to? In the letter to Galatians, if you've ever read it and been confused, it might be because Paul talks a lot about circumcision. He talks a lot about circumcision. Almost the whole letter he talks about circumcision, okay? And this was because he was writing to the Galatian church who was struggling with this question, right? Go figure. They were struggling with the question of circumcision. And what happened was there were a lot of new believers in this church who didn't really know what to do. And there were other people coming along who called themselves Christians, who called themselves followers of Jesus, but they believed that you had to be circumcised in order to be a follower of Jesus, in order to be saved, right? So they were telling the Galatians this, and the Galatians were confused. Paul writes this letter to clear things up. He says, no, you don't need to get circumcised for salvation because you're free. You're free from the old law. You're free in Christ. You're free because of this gospel. Elsewhere, he calls this old law the law of sin and death. Okay, so he's talking about the freedom that we have in Jesus, the freedom that the gospel brings, and this is what enables us to serve. Okay, this is what enables us to serve, the freedom we have in Christ. You know, in college, I was a music minor. It was really relaxed at UCSD. I remember scrolling down, and I saw an option on the student page that said minor, and you could click a little scroll down menu and just choose your minor. And so I picked music, and it was that easy. There were no concentrations, no areas of study. The only requirements were lower division and upper division units, not even specific classes. You just had to take 7 classes and you could call yourself a music minor. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted that on my diploma, so I enrolled. And I remember looking through the course catalog and I saw this series on jazz theory and improvisation. It was 3 classes, so an entire year at UCSD, and I thought that sounded amazing. I was like, this is so cool, right? I've always wanted to learn jazz piano, and now I'm paying tuition at UCSD, I might as well make the most of it. So I looked at the course listing, and I saw that there was a prerequisite, and the prerequisite was an entire year of basic musicianship classes. It sounded really boring. I really didn't want to do it. I didn't even need 3 lower division classes for my minor. That's how relaxed it was. So I'd be taking some useless classes. I weighed whether or not it was worth my time and my effort. And in the end, I decided to take it. I actually didn't do so well. It lowered my GPA in the end. I thought it would be really easy, but I guess it wasn't. After a year of struggling through, I was done, and it was time to enroll in jazz. And I was so excited. First day of class, I walked in, and I was so pumped for all the stuff we were going to learn. The professor started introducing the course. He said, we're going to learn these things, and we're going to play, and we're going to jam, and it's going to be awesome. Oh, and by the way, there is a prerequisite for this course. You know, Music 2 series, basic musicianship. I had just finished, praise the Lord. And he said, if you haven't taken this course, come and see me after class, and I'll waive it for you. And I was crushed. Oh, that moment. I felt like I wasted an entire year for nothing. But that was the prerequisite, right? It wasn't actually required, but it was there, it was in place. There is a prerequisite for serving effectively, and this is required, okay? And that's the freedom that Paul is referring to here. That's the prerequisite if you want to serve and serve effectively. Pastor Rick Warren says, you cannot serve God until you've been set free by Jesus. He says, you're not able to serve God until you've experienced this freedom. The prerequisite, the requirement, what we need to have, experienced in our lives to serve God and serve others effectively is to have been set free by Jesus. Set free from what? Elsewhere, in the book of Ephesians, we see Paul saying, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Okay, talking about our salvation. In Romans 8:2, talking about the new life we have in Christ. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We need to be set free from our sin, from our old selves, from the old law of sin and death. We need to be set free from our sin, from the effects of sin in our lives. Right? And these are really fundamental effects. We need to be set free from our old selves, from hurts that we may have suffered in the past that still affect us today, from habits that are hard to break, from hang-ups or prejudices or ways of thinking that we just can't get over. You may have heard over and over and over and over again that Jesus died for you, that he paid the price for your sins, that your sins are forgiven, right? But until we've really experienced this forgiveness, until we've received forgiveness for our sins personally, we can't experience this freedom. These hurts, right? These hurts that we've experienced in the past, these habits, these hang-ups, these prejudices, these things are going to keep affecting us. Even when we want to do good, even when we have good in our hearts, on our minds, in our intention, they're going to keep affecting us. And because sin is so entangled into our lives, even after we choose to receive this forgiveness, even after we choose to receive Jesus as our Lord. Experiencing this freedom isn't an easy process, right? If you've heard of our Embraced Retreat or our Inner Healing Ministry, that's why we have an entire branch of our church, an entire retreat dedicated to starting this process. We say starting because it's a long, ongoing process of healing these deep hurts, of healing these ways that sin may have touched our lives that we might not even be aware of, right? Setting us free from the ways sin fundamentally affects us. It's a long process and it's not easy, but until we experience this true freedom, right? Until we experience this true freedom, we bring all sorts of mixed motives to our service, right? Some of us might be serving because we want approval, because we want a pat on the back, because we want a good word from our peers or from our authorities. Good job. Wow, you're doing so well. Some of us might serve out of a sense of guilt. You know, guilt from ourselves, guilt from God. We feel like, oh, I need to earn my way. I need to earn my way back into God's grace. Some of us might serve out of really misplaced pride. Wow, God really blessed me. This church really needs my help. The kingdom of God could really use a person like me. And these things seem kind of obvious, right? But in practice, they're hard. They're hard to detect in our hearts because we know how to cover them up. And they might be hard to notice in the short term, but ultimately in the long term, this type of service doesn't bear lasting fruit. It doesn't build up the church. It doesn't glorify God, right? Because it's all from ourselves. It leaves us embittered and burned out because these things, right? The approval of man, earning our way in, pride, these are not what enable us to serve. These are not what fuel us to serve. They can't empower us to serve, right? Because they're not from God. What enables us to serve is the freedom we have in Christ. That's the only thing that can empower us to serve, the freedom we have in Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what enables us to serve. What prevents us from serving? Next, Paul says, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Flesh, again, it can be used to mean flesh. It can be used to mean sinful nature in Greek. And so this is the same flesh that we're told to crucify and put to death elsewhere in the Bible. At its core, this flesh, this sin, what it's doing, it causes us to be self-centered rather than God-centered. That's pretty much at its core, what sin is doing to us. Sin causes us to be self-centered rather than God-centered. For most people, yes, it's this sinful nature that holds us back, but maybe more concretely, it's our self-centeredness that holds us back from serving, and that's not something we like to hear. But how can we do God-centered work if we're not God-centered? A lot of us wouldn't consider ourselves excessively self-centered, especially in this era of hyper-narcissism, where you look online and you see people it's all about me, pictures of me, what I ate today, what I did today, what I'm thinking today, how I'm feeling today, what I think about this and this and this and this and this. And these aren't bad things, right? But self-centeredness is really apparent here. It doesn't always have to take that form. I think especially for most of us, it probably doesn't take that form, but it shows up in how we spend our time and how we spend our resources, right? For most of us, we prioritize similar things. We want to get ahead in school, in our jobs, in our careers. Students, we want to look for internships. I think most of us are already looking for internships already for the summer. Hanging out with friends or family, spending time with loved ones, unwinding with Netflix, video games. These aren't bad things. If you come to our church and you listen to our sermons, you'll hear us say over and over again, these are not bad things, right? In fact, a lot of them are good things. But how often do we tell ourselves or tell others that we lack the time or energy to serve. When we feel like we lack these resources, usually it's because we're already spending them in other places. We're spending them pursuing our own agendas, our own dreams, our own pursuits, our own pleasures, right? The main reason most of us hold back from serving is because we want to do what we want to do. We want to pursue what we think is important. We want to spend our time with people we like. We want to do what we enjoy, right? And this sounds normal. This sounds natural. It sounds like second nature to us, right? These aren't bad things, but this is a really self-centered point of view. What do I want to do? What do I deem important? When we come from a God-centered perspective, we think, what's important to God? Who does God value? Who does God want me to spend my time with? What brings God joy? How often are these on our minds? How often do we really think about these things? This is really apparent, I think, in today's church. The Pew Research Center published a study in 2016. Yeah, these are Pews. Yeah. I didn't really mean to do that, but I caught that after. They published a study called Choosing a New Church or House of Worship. Okay, and I think many of us have been through this process. It was really interesting. They analyzed factors that went into finding a new church. Okay, they asked people what was important to them in looking for a new church. And 83% of Americans who've looked for a new place of worship, they say the quality of preaching played an important role in their choice of congregation. If you're new here, I'm sorry, it's my first time up here, okay? Nearly as many, okay, 79% said it was important to them to feel welcomed by the clergy and the lay staff. You know, they want to feel that the style of worship goes with what they think. Almost three quarters, right, 74% said style of worship was important to them. These are what influences our decisions, right? The study goes on, it talks about location, it talks about children's programs, it talks about knowing people in the congregation. There's so many other factors that go into this, but at the top, right, we see these. And this is so many of us. This is so many of us looking for a new church. Many of us maybe just finished this process last quarter when we moved down. I think this is pretty natural for us in what we like to call church hopping. Other people call it church shopping. We wouldn't think this is wrong, but I think really this points to a mindset that views church as a seller of different religious goods and services. It views us as a vendor, as a dispenser of these things, right? And this comes back to this view, this perspective of self-centeredness, of it's about me. Church is not about me. Church is not just about what I want, what I desire, what's good for me, right? It's about God and his mission of making disciples, disciples of all nations. That's what the church is about. Yes, we want to serve our members, but the church does not exist primarily to serve its members. That's not what we're about. We're about multiplying, about making disciples. We want to see people grow, right? But the point of that growth is to see that growth spread beyond our walls and to see the church multiply, to see God's glory multiply. You know, if you're thinking, I'm on the opposite end, I already spend so much time serving at church, I don't even have time for myself. Is that not good enough? I'm not attacking you, okay? I'm not judging. I especially understand we all go through different seasons in life. Some of us might be busy with work. Some of us might have new children to take care of. Some of us might have problems at home that we need to worry about. And I understand. We all understand. But we've all experienced those times, especially if we've been serving for a while, where we feel like we have nothing left to give, or we just don't want to give anymore. I have so little time. I have so little energy. I need to hold some back for myself. And in those times, we need to reflect. We need to evaluate what's going on in our hearts, and we need to ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us and really change us. I say change us because, yes, that's normal. It's normal for us to feel this way, but that doesn't mean that that's where we should be, because the truth is God doesn't call us to stop serving others. Right? He never tells us to stop. It might look differently in different seasons of life, right? If you're super busy, of course, we understand. We might pull you back from serving in this ministry. We might pull you back from leading in this ministry. We'll understand if you want to take a break from this ministry. But we never stop serving others, right? That never stops. The call of God doesn't change. We're always called to serve, no matter our season. Okay, so that's what prevents us from serving is self-centeredness. Okay, and finally, what drives us to serve? What drives us to serve? Paul ends by saying, serve one another humbly in love. He goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself, right? What drives us to serve has to be love, and it has to be the love of Christ. And there's really a lot to be said about this, about loving your neighbor as yourself, because it's not natural to us. We have to learn how to do it. But I'll say one thing. It's impossible for us to do what we are called to do. It's impossible for us to love others as much as we love ourselves, or even more than we love ourselves. It's impossible unless we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and we put to death our sinful desires, right? This self-centeredness that prevents us from serving, it's incompatible with the love of Christ. That's the only way we can hope to love others as much as we love ourselves. That's the only way we can hope to put the needs of other people in front of our own, because it's so natural for us to focus on ourselves. Right, but whatever we do, we need to remember preparing refreshments, leading a small group, praying for someone. Right, as we're filled with this freedom that enables us to serve, as we're filled with the love of God as well, we'll serve with the same love. Right, as long as we're experiencing these things, that is not our worry. God cares far more about the heart than the action, and the heart should lead to the action. Don't get me wrong. We can't have a heart that's filled with the love of Christ and hoard it and stay home and say, all right, I'm just gonna enjoy myself today then. But once we experience this love, of course, it's gonna pour out onto those around us, and that's what we're called to do. That's the love we're called to serve with. So again, what enables us to serve is the freedom we have in Christ from our sin, right? What prevents us from serving is this sin, and often it shows up as self-centeredness, selfishness, right? But what drives us to serve? What is our motivation for serving? It's love. It's the love of Christ. This is what pushes our hearts in the right direction. So how do we serve? Time for some application. And we have some very tangible application points for you today. Our All Servants Co-op is next week, okay? I know a lot of you are already serving, and that's really great to see. Our church is really happy about that. For those of you who, you know, aren't serving, are interested in serving, are curious about the different ministries our church has, stick around after service next week. We'll have a short devotional, we'll eat lunch together, lunch will be provided so you don't need to leave. And after that, we'll break off into our different ministry groups. You can tag along with ones you're interested in. We have our outreach team, inreach team, hospitality, just to name a few, intercessory prayer. I know our AV team could always use some more people. You know, we talked about using gifts, right? How God blessed each of us with gifts to serve. And to be honest, I think most of us are young enough where we don't really know what our gifts are. We don't exactly know what my gift is. I might know what I like, what I'm good at, my personality is like, these all play into it, I think, but I think the only way to really find out is to just jump in and try different things, to just say yes when people ask you to do something. I think that's the best way to figure out what your gifts are and how you can best serve the kingdom of God. So stick around next week. We really believe that every member here is called to serve, but if you're not able to for some reason, or you know, if you don't feel like that's your thing at this time, our small groups are starting this week, okay, Wednesday and Thursday night. And we'll be going through this series called Tough Questions. There's these cute little flyers that Esther made. Some of the questions, like, is faith a blind leap? Why does God feel so distant sometimes? Do faith and science conflict, right? These are all hard questions, but we'll be going through 8 of them. For 8 weeks, we'll be going through a different question every week. So if you have questions, feel free to talk to one of our small group leaders. They're around, they're everywhere. And I think more so than just the discussion, we like to say our small groups are sort of the heart of our church. And we really believe that, one, it is a place to build community. But two, part of that is forcing ourselves out of our normal routine, out of our normal self-centeredness, out of our normal consumerism. And I'm not trying to indict the church right now, but I think it's just natural for us to fall into this mindset, to become preoccupied with things that are on my plate, things that I need to do, take care of, worries that are on my mind. And I think small group is really a place to fight these things, because when we share and we discuss, you know, we remember it's not all about me. It's really not all about what I'm experiencing, what I'm pursuing. Every other person here, every other person in this room is going through something, is experiencing something, and they have needs that you can meet, that you can minister to, right? This is a really tangible place where everyone in our church has a chance to minister to each other. Every person has a place. So that's it for today. Just some quick application points. Co-op next week, small group this week. Go. If you're interested in joining our church, these are really, I think, the ways to plug yourself in and understand what our church is about. We love serving. We love servants. Serving in a ministry is not the only method of serving others, right? And so that's why we value small groups so much.